Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss.
I'm Theo Vaughn.
And we got a guy whose name is on the Comedy Store upstairs, whose name is synonymous with comedy, and who I've looked up to for a long time, and I'm so excited he's here, Mr. Gilbert Gottfried. A legend.
Yes. Boy, what a crowd.
I know you've met Theo before. And I'm just a huge fan, and I thank you for coming to do this.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, and he has a documentary out, or will be out, about him called Gilbert.
Yeah, and I want to know how the documentary come to be. That's just kind of the question I want to start with, Gilbert.
It's a weird thing. There was the filmmaker Neil Berkeley. He came up to me and said, "I've always dreamt of doing a Gilbert Gottfried documentary." And I said to him, "Well, you should set your dreams a lot higher than that." But he insisted on doing it, and I was against it. I didn't know the point of doing a documentary unless I'd been dead for 20 years or I opened a chain of hospitals in a third world country. I didn't know.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. I keep quiet about it because I'm modest. But he insisted, and I'm too much of a wimp to go get away from me, so he kept following me. And it was just him and a camera. It was no crew. And they did it. He finished it. And it's gotten great reviews, surprisingly.
Yeah. You can see it on Hulu December 29th.
Oh, nice.
Exclusively on Hulu. And I know that it shows a different side of you, so to speak, that people don't necessarily know. Were you self-conscious about that as it was happening?
Extremely.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
With a camera in your face, trying to be you, but yet trying to, at the same time, not reveal too much? I don't know. Were you conscious of that?
It was weird. I mention it in the film because I think about that a lot. It's kind of like that scene in Wizard of Oz where they go, "Don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain." Mm-hmm. And I felt like, wouldn't people rather just see the wizard?
Right. Not,
but no.
No.
This
no.
is interesting. I think this is really cool.
Yeah.
Was there moments where you were found yourself trying to direct him?
Not really, surprisingly. I just sort of let him follow me. And, it's... And then when I watch the film, it's kind of like that first time you've seen yourself on film or heard your voice recorded. Mm. That's what it feels
like. A little awkward?
What?
Awkward?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where you go, no, there's something wrong with the way you recorded me there because I don't sound that way and I don't look that way. So there's... Which nowadays, it's so weird. Nowadays, that feeling, I think now people are born hearing recordings of their voice and seeing themselves on film. Back then, it was like maybe one of your friends had a home movie camera.
Yeah.
And somebody you knew had a tape recorder. But now it's like, I don't know that anybody has that strange feeling of, oh, my God, my voice on tape.
Yeah.
So did it take you a while when you were younger to realize what your voice sounded like? Or?
Yeah. And each time, like a lot of people, you hear it and you go, nah, I don't sound that way. There's something wrong with, people would go like, they'd listen to themselves and go, everybody else, it recorded well, but it didn't record me well.
Yeah. I don't sound like an alcoholic.
Exactly.
At 12.
I remember the answering machine being like the first time when I'd left a voice message for my mom, and then we'd gotten back home together, and then she was playing it, and I was like, oh,
this
my
is what
God,
I sound like?
I'm in
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember that being a big moment. But yeah, now it's like I have a million videos. I have videos people don't even know in my phone.
Yeah, completely.
And then there was that. What I remember about answering machines when they first came out. I mean, I used to just go, you know, hi, leave a message when you hear the beep. That was mine. But everybody else thought, you know, this was their chance of a whole production. And they'd have music and sound effects.
Yes.
And they'd be doing a funny voice on it. And when I ever got those, and I'd be wanting to leave a message and hear that, I'd think, oh, shit. You know, please just have a beep so I can leave my message.
And some families, it was almost a little bit of the inverse where you would get a little peek into their life. You know, you would hear like, quiet the fuck down.
Oh, yes, yes.
We're having a great evening here at the Hunter household. You could hear a little bit of domestic abuse in the background.
Oh,
sometimes.
Yeah.
That was always important.
Hey, Theo. How do you feel about saving lives?
Matt, I gotta say, honestly, you don't seem like the kind of guy that's into saving lives.
That is ridiculous. I like to save as many lives as I can.
Really?
As long as it involves buying, like, a granola bar. Because that's the easiest way to save lives these days.
Really? What about being like a fireman?
No, overrated.
Really?
All you have to do is buy This Bar Saves Lives.
Really?
It's one of those little bars.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you buy one of those, mm-hmm. and for every snack bar sold, they give life-saving food to a child in need.
No way.
That's pretty great. I mean, you're going to buy it anyway.
So I put something in my mouth, and the company puts something in a child's mouth.
Yes, and you know what they call that? What it's called that they put in the child's mouth?
Food.
Plumpy Nut.
Ooh.
Which was my nickname in high school, ironically.
I bet it was, huh, big
no,
fella?
No, it's like a nutrient packet called Plumpy Nut that has essential vitamins and minerals to give essential nutrition to the malnourished kids for their physical and mental development. So you buy one of these bars, and they're good.
Mm-hmm.
You just tasted one yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I thought they were great, man. Easy to eat.
They come in many flavors, dark chocolate, peanut butter, and sea salt, dark chocolate cherry and sea salt,
wild blueberry pistachio,
Madagascar vanilla almond. They're all gluten-free, non-GMO, project-verified, and ridiculously delicious.
That's right. They're co-founded by Kristen Bell, Ryan Devlin, Todd Grinnell, and Ravi Patel.
Kristen Bell, the Kristen Bell.
Yep,
Veronica
KB,
Mars,
they call her.
And Ryan Devlin.
Yeah.
One of my best buddies in the world.
Good guy. You can get them now. And we've created a 20% off coupon code, allegedly, for our listeners on their site.
ThisBarSavesLives.com.
That's right. Go to ThisBarSavesLives.com. Use the coupon code, allegedly, for 20% off. Every bar you buy, they put one into the hands and mouth of a child.
Donations go to Haiti, South Sudan, Somalia, Congo, Guatemala, the Philippines, Mexico, U.S., anywhere that children are in need and people need to be fed.
Ooh, Guatemala. Thank you.
So, Gilbert, let me ask, was there anything off limits in this? Did you say to him at any point, like, this, no?
That was the funny thing. I didn't say, no, you can't record this, or you can't film this. I let him. It was weird, and it's weird for me watching it.
Did that give you anything? Was that cathartic or something in a sense, like having?
I hope so. I don't really feel like it was cathartic, but I mean, I'm happy.
Yeah.
The amount of reviews, I think, were 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and so that I'm happy about. But boy, doing it and watching it, I hated both.
Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't have to audition for this one, did you?
Yeah, they wanted to find a better Gilbert Gottfried.
They're like, we know it's going to be Gilbert. Get me Sarah Gilbert. Bring her in. Melissa Gilbert.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. And then we'll pick one.
That would almost be great if he had to audition in the beginning for his own.
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure that wouldn't surprise you. You've been in this business for so long.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about auditions and how they're... You know, one in a million, you get lucky or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But you had to be kind of a one of, I mean, you're kind of a rare element, you know? Like, I mean, if you're on the periodic table, I feel like you'd kind of be off to the side a little bit, sort of doing your own thing.
It's funny. It's like, it still gets me when they call me in to audition for a voiceover. And I feel like, don't you know what I sound like already? You know, just stop it.
Is that true? You still get calls for audition for voiceover.
Yeah, I'm not going to, I'm not Meryl Streep. I'm not going to
put on an accent.
Yeah.
The Gilberts over Madison County. I would love to watch
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to do my Yugoslavian accent.
Do you do accents? Do you?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah, I do them. Not I don't know how well I would do.
Do you have
it.
A go-to? Like, is a British? Or?
It's no. I'm sure any accent I do, if I was talking to someone from that country, they would go, "What's wrong?"
Yeah. Oh, you are the African Gilbert Grape.
Yeah,
The Gilbert Gottfried. Sorry.
Yeah, well, he's not Gilbert Grape.
It's kind of like gets me. You know, when you hear someone in a movie who you don't know is foreign, but then you find out later they're a foreign actor doing an American act, like an English actor, where you might not know they're English, but you go, they've got some kind of speech defect.
Yeah. Something's going on there. Well, man, I like I said, the documentary, which you can see on Apple TV, Roku, Smart TV, iPads, Google Chromecast, iPhone, Androids, Amazon Fire TV, out on December 29th.
That's exciting,
Gilbert.
And we'll share that, too. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Do you feel when it came out – sorry, Matt, I'm about to step on your toes. Did you feel, Gilbert, whenever you got asked to do this, is there sort of like a element inside of you that, like, man, this is a weird spot on the timeline of my career? Like, do people know that I'm, like, dying and I don't know or something? Like, is there some
– Oh, exactly. Exactly. I thought, like I said before, I thought – you know, you should be dead for 20 years, or you're about to die, or you did something miraculous, like, you know, discovered a cure for some disease. And, so all the above.
And is it, do you think it's a sign of the times that we do a living documentary now? Do you think it's...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was the whole thing was peculiar, but like I said, I mean I'm shocked that it's all the reviews have been good.
Yeah.
What is I know that it shows a different side of you being a father and a husband and also someone who's cheap.
Oh yes,
that's what they, a lot of that you take stuff from hotel rooms.
Yeah.
That you ride the bus. Is that's genuine?
Oh yeah, that's genuine. I'll take buses places. The stuff from hotels is a combination of cheapness and also, you know, like an OCD.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like I have a thing with stuff for free where if you hired me and said, okay, we're going to give you a check for $100 million – and we'll give you, like, a free carton of gum. And I'll think, oh, a free carton of gum. Like, I got something for free. That somehow would make more sense than the money. Yeah.
What is the strangest thing that you've ever taken from a hotel?
Oh, God. Let me see. Never anything major. It's always, like, the soap, shampoos. It's like
towels ever?
Towels occasionally, yeah. Yeah.
Sheets, pillows?
Not sheets or pillows.
Yeah, you don't want to go there. No,
that would be a little scary even for me.
And how were you with the documentary on showcasing your kids and, you know, showing that aspect? And I know, is your son an actor? Going to be an actor?
See, that I don't know. They're at that age now where they start saying what they're going to be, and it's either actor, doctor, vacuum cleaner, salesman. You
the
know,
three go-tos.
It's a million things.
So when you saw opening up your family to this, was that weird? Difficult?
Yeah, it's weird, and you get scared when
that's
your
what I would imagine.
Kids
are
out
in
there.
It.
I can imagine. Are you scared of what they're going to say?
Oh, yeah. Well, what they're going to say is one thing. But another thing is, you know, when you put kids in front of the camera, they could go, you know, you see what happens to a lot of them.
Yeah.
Who are in front of the camera. They turn. I mean, a few stars of former sitcoms are probably sleeping under the bridge right now.
Yeah, completely.
There is, and I'd like to do an interview with him if I could find out what bridge he's under. I think they found one of the brothers from, what was that called, Small Wonder?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Small Wonder.
Yeah, one of the brothers, they said, has been sleeping under a bridge.
Wow. Oh, literally.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
And so the idea of him, you know, as early as he can remember, he was driving inside the gate. They said, hello, Mr. So-and-so. And if he demanded a certain kind of ice cream, they would rush out and get it for him. And now he's living under a bridge.
It's interesting because someone asked, do you know what happened to the kid from Problem Child? Have you stayed in touch with him at all?
That's interesting.
I was just in a conversation about this yesterday.
Because Gilbert was coming on or just random?
No, not because Gilbert was coming on. I wonder what happened to that kid.
Okay. Well, and that puts me into another plug. I have a podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Called Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast that is on iTunes. And on the podcast, one of the people I decided I found out still alive. I wanted to get to interview was the kid from Problem Child.
Who is now, what, in his...
Yeah, he's
40? Like 40?
Yeah, I would imagine.
I would imagine, yeah.
He has his own problem children, I'm sure.
He's a problem
Did
adult.
Did you get to?
What?
Is there an episode of that?
Yeah. Wow. His name's Michael Oliver. And to my shock, I mean, I just spoke to him for an hour on the phone, on the podcast. To my great shock, it starts off as it's going to lead to a true Hollywood story. You know, one of those,
going down that path.
Oh, yeah. Because he was in some kind of lawsuit with the studio.
Wow.
And then they had no money after that.
Right.
And, he said that for a while they lost their home. Oh. But now he realized he has he knows how to repair computers. He figured out somewhere along the way he's very good.
So he's solve a problem child now.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, solve a problem, which he should open his own business. That would be a great title. But he knows how to repair computers, and he got into that years ago. And, you know, he's got a place to live, got a, you know, roof over his head.
Wow.
Food on the table, and he sounded perfectly normal.
That
and I
awesome.
Thought, this is shocking.
Yeah.
Because I thought for sure he'd wind up living on the street.
Even as someone who was, you were in the movies, so
you
saw it firsthand.
He's going to be totally screwed up.
Wow.
And did he seem like a kid when you first met him? Like, oh, this kid is screwed? Like, this kid's going to be screwed up?
Yeah, I didn't know. I know I thought, uh-oh, he could be one of those. But, yeah, he sounded fine.
Wow.
He said he sounded rational, like he said.
Oh, that's important. That's what's most important.
Yeah, he said in some interview that he said, truth be told, I was a 7-year-old who just happened to have the perfect look that they wanted.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he enjoyed doing movies, but he realizes that's in the past.
Wow.
And this is what he's doing now, and he's fine with it.
Mm. Well, and he's one of the best movies of all. I mean, that was...
It's a great movie.
That movie was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing.
You guys should do Problem Child 3 now.
Do you want to know something? There was a Problem Child 3 that only I know about.
Oh, really?
Yes. There was. It was made for TV.
Oh.
And me and Jack Warden were the only people on it who were from the original movie. John Ritter wasn't in it.
Right.
And the problem child wasn't right. in it. And it was the guy in the John Ritter role was what's his name? The greatest American hero. William Catt.
William Catt, yeah.
And so,
all right. So maybe Problem Child 4 we should do. Yes, let's bring it back.
Problem Child 4.
Things are coming back.
Where I will be the only living cast member.
It's about how Gilbert won't grow up.
Yes.
Now, is there a time like so? I mean, as a comedian, I know that comedians can be really egomaniacs. And some of it not even to our own doing, just being born that way. And
yeah.
Some deficiency inside of us. Do you find even in a small element of, say, like your kid? I know today your kid got offered to come and audition for Saturday Night Live, right? We were talking about it before we came on the air.
Yeah, first of all, the auditions they're probably auditioning, 10 billion kids.
Right.
And it's probably for some short film clip.
Right. Can't you make a call, by the way? Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you were a cast member.
I was let go from that show. So I don't think I don't think I'm pulling much weight around.
Well, maybe they'll like your kid more than they liked you.
Look at Gilbert coming over here and sending his at least trying to get his genetics back in the
Hey, whatever it takes.
But is there a little bit of... And this might seem like a weird question, but is there a little bit of, not purpose, but just innate jealousy when your kid kind of gets into the business? Because, I mean, comedians, we're egomaniacs.
Yeah.
Is there do you know what I'm talking about at all? Does that make any sense?
With me, more fear because I always say, what got me into the business was pure stupidity. Mm-hmm. And I stayed with it. Mm. Because of pure stupidity. And it's like I didn't think of terms of, it's a trillion to one against even etching out a tiny living in the business and to stay in it and the amount of rejection. Mm. And it's like now when you kind of get more rational, now I kind of think I can understand if my kid said to me, well, we're going to make money by going into trash cans in the street and taking out soda bottles and turning it in for 5 cents. Now, that would at least make sense.
Right.
Show business, I'd be happy if my kid started out as rich international superstars and never faced any rejection. Then I go, okay, fine.
So he gets the part in SNL. Would you go to the filming?
Yeah.
That's a question.
Yes.
It's a good question.
Yeah, you'd have to go.
He would have to be better than I was on this show. I think just about anybody in the street would have been better than I was.
So someone did ask, when you were coming up, who did you have to bang to make it in Hollywood?
That's a good question.
Someone wanted to know, yeah. One of our social media fans.
The kid from Problem Child. Yeah, that's how I got in that movie.
I thought you guys had chemistry in that movie.
Yeah. I wasn't happy about it. And then when he got tired of me, I started having sex with Jack Warden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wow. So it was
who was
so
better?
Bad.
No, I'm just kidding. We don't have to go there.
So, Gil, did you... Like, now there's so many of these sexual allegations and stuff like this going on. Was that as prevalent in the when you were coming up and you just didn't hear about it? Or do you think that...
It was just part of the time?
Was it just part of the time? Bill Burr's on stage last night here, right?
Yeah.
And he's like... and he was just, like, going into it, which I was... You could hear the audience was, like, a little bit on their feet, a little bit on back on their toes, kind of. I feel like some comedians are afraid to even talk about it now.
It's weird. There was always that term, casting couch.
Right.
So everybody knew about it. Even non-showbiz knew that, there were a lot of horny directors and producers. But it wasn't a thing. It just was never a thing before.
It was just part of the routine.
Part of the world. I mean, I think my mother, I'm not joking, slept with our landlord one time to get us like $50 or $100 less on rent. Sometimes,
I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. I remember being sad about it as a child. But, I mean, sometimes there's things that just happen in the universe where it's like, you know, you're trying to get a leg up. I mean, like, Chelsea Handler, like, is notorious, like, slept with the head of what's-his-name to get her whole contract, her whole entire deal. So I think there's different elements of it, but yeah, was it as popular? I guess it was just the casting couch back then.
Yeah, I guess everybody knew it was going on. You didn't have any real stories.
What was the casting couch like for Aladdin?
Did you have to sleep with a cartoonist?
I had to sleep with Walt. and
well, you know, they said they froze his body.
Yeah. So. And during sex, I had to yell out Uncle Walt. That was creepy for me. And I had to wear mouse ears.
One of the things that the documentary talks about is, I mean, obviously you're someone who does not censor yourself and jokes, you know, whether it's about something that's happening in the world or whatever, and it's gotten you in trouble before.
Oh, yes.
So at this point in your career, do you say screw it all? Or does it even come in? You have to censor yourself is the question now. Do you find yourself ever like going, oh, well, now that some of this stuff has gone down, maybe I shouldn't say this or that?
I don't know. I find like I think twice, but say it anyway.
Well, I think there's two mindsets. I mean, there's certainly a mindset where like, yeah, business-wise, if financial-wise, maybe this isn't something that I'll, you know, or looking back, that's not the coolest thing. But then there's also the mindset that if I just want to be funny, then I just want to be funny.
Yeah, you have to be true to that. You strike me as someone who would be true to that before anything
else. Yeah, there's a lot of bad comedians who are some good, who probably are maybe better business people.
Yeah.
But like you put them on the stage up here at 10 o'clock at night and they'll bore the crowd to sleep.
Right.
And it's a weird thing too with comedy or anything. People like to be offended. They love to pat themselves on the back and go, hey, I was offended. Like if there's some horrible...
That's true.
Yeah, I agree.
If there's some horrible tragedy happens somewhere, you know, you could actually go there and actually help out in the effort. Or you could make out a generous check. Mm-hmm. Or you could get offended by something someone said and go, see, I'm good.
Wow. So something happens, like the fires that are going on right now in California, do you try to think of stuff?
Yeah.
Jokes that might be played with that?
I don't, but it's, you know what's so funny? I find out about these tragedies because like a million people will send me tweets.
Right.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, how about a joke about this or this or this? And it shows they want to laugh about it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting that people are actually seeking you out to make jokes about this. And you oblige?
Not to oblige them, but, you know, if I feel, if something strikes me funny.
Yeah.
But, and it shows, too, like, you know, what are you going to say, that every single person who tweets and wants a bad taste joke is a terrible person?
Right.
You know, like, what about all the dead baby jokes over the years?
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, it's like, so what, everyone who's made a dead baby jokes wants babies to die, you know?
Right.
And I've never had one ghost of a baby come back and be pissed. You know what I'm saying? You don't see any, you know, like somebody's like, oh, I saw some baby ghosts and they're pissed about the jokes.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Well, and this is, you know, one of my favorite humorous jokes. And did you see a documentary that was about joking about the Holocaust?
Oh, I was in that.
Oh, you were in that? Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
The Last Laugh.
Yeah, I think that is, I mean, what that documentary showed is that it's also cathartic and it also can be like, you know, there's a place for that. But yet, and I love Holocaust jokes. I love a good Anne Frank joke. I think it's hysterical, but it makes people uncomfortable.
Oh, look, man, Anne Frank complained a lot. That place, 2 bedroom, 2 bath. I went and saw the museum. And I love telling that joke, you know, because it really is kind of a nice little area in there. Does that mean that I think it's cool that like a 13-year-old girl had to hide in her attic to be who she was?
No. Not at all.
So yeah, it is tough. That is interesting. You can help. You can actually do something. You can donate, or you can get offended. There is this offended culture.
Well, that's just with everything. Yeah. That's with politics. You can get involved. You can do something, or you can complain about it on Facebook. Right. That's what everybody does.
And those, especially on Twitter, for some reason, it is just. You almost can't even tell jokes. It's not even on jokes as much. It's just people fighting.
On Twitter, you could go, I don't really like red jelly beans.
Yeah.
And forget it. The world wants you dead now. Yeah. How dare he attack red jelly beans? How insensitive.
Yeah, somebody in Sacramento gave birth to a red jelly
bean. Yeah,
my cousin's a red jelly bean.
Yeah, next you know you're raising millions of dollars for this red jelly bean baby.
And what's offensive is what happened around that particular
time. It's so
true.
Do you think – so at least having had a look, you know, you're, you know, probably a generation above Matt and I, having a broader scope of comedy and humanity, do you feel like this offended culture starts to die down some? Do you think – does the pendulum swing? I keep hearing that, but it's like it doesn't seem to be happening. What do you predict?
What I think is attached to it, and, you know, supporter or non-supporter of the president, I think in a way people kind of were excited by somebody who, oh my God, what did he say now?
Yeah.
And he was always saying something that was really outrageous and really strange. And I think that helped get him in office.
I think so too, 100%. Yeah, yeah. I think it helps a little bit in the fact that, I don't know. I was hoping that did help. I remember the night he got elected, I remember innately feeling,
change is coming.
I can be a man again for a minute.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Some weird moment where I felt that, where I felt like, okay, I'm not going to be killed off or something for being a male. You know, wow. I felt something like that a little bit.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, speaking of Trump, I mean, he liked you. he did. I watched The Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, that was peculiar. I mean, I was let go after a week and a half, but still.
Did you ever expect he would become the president of the United States?
Well, I always knew some game show host would be. Yeah, I was voting for Pat Sajak.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine our country if Pat Sajak was a president?
Yeah. Vanna, let's open those border walls.
What is Vanna doing right now?
Counting her money?
Yeah, I guess so.
Probably wishing she hadn't signed those sexual harassment NDAs. That's what I'm There's no way. Can you come turn these pants open? You know, I would have used a million of those.
Oh my God! If Pat Sajak had her do special puzzles that when she had to reveal them herself, and it's like, I want you inside me, or something like that. Oh my God. Okay, so Trump. So I mean, you don't have a relationship with him. You just know him from that show.
From that show, what little I knew of him, he was perfectly okay.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, Pauly Shore was a big friend. Him and Pauly Shore were close, in the sense they used to go have fun together and have a good time.
Yeah, Pauly Shore used to get chicks for him.
I mean, the thing about Trump is, what I love is they keep relating him like he's a politician. He's not a politician.
Yeah,
I know.
And they keep putting him in this light. He's never said I'm a politician. Yeah. He's just said, I'm going to take this job. Watch me get this job. Watch me be a PR weirdo.
And I think... nobody is more surprised that he got elected president than himself.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
Like he probably, I'm sure he, every day he gets up and goes, wow, I used to have parties. I was fucking Miss America contestant. What the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, that's true.
I agree. You had the greatest episode of Wife Swap ever.
Oh my God, yes.
And look, I mean that. I love that show, and I thought you had the greatest episode ever.
Was that with Alan Thicke?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was, yeah.
And I got to have sex with Alan Thicke. and during sex, he'd go, ooh, yes, ooh, 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 Hunter Gilbert, Hunter. Ooh, yes, smick me, Gilbert, smick me.
Wow, that's funny.
If you and I encourage everyone to watch Gilbert's documentary, and I'll be sharing it on social media. But also, if you want, it was just a great. It was a great episode. Was that a good experience? I know that's a small little piece of your life, but
yeah, I was like for the longest time saying no to any of these appearances on reality shows.
Right.
Because it just irked me. But the first reality show I remember I appeared on was one of those, there's a few of them, of like celebrity paranormal activities.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Wow, I got to go look for this.
Yeah, and this was one.
What's Eating Gilbert's Ghost?
Yeah, yeah. This was one where me and a bunch of other celebs were put in some haunted house. and this was like a deserted, abandoned, insane asylum. And one of the other celebrities in it was Tracy Lords.
Oh, of course.
A former porn star.
I remember this.
And the best part, and I swear this is true, you know how there's a serial killer
right.
still roaming this place. And oh, we had like these ghost packs and that had like a thermometer, because you know, if one side of a room in an abandoned building is a degree or a half higher or lower right. than the other side, proof.
There's a ghost there.
Because, you know, abandoned insane asylums are known for temperature control. So, anyway, we had to, in order to speak to the ghost, it had to be like right out of the movie Ghost.
Yeah.
Where Patrick Swayze, you know, goes inside Whoopi Goldberg.
Yep.
And that, then you have like a host body.
Yeah.
So, the person he had to go inside, of course, surprise, surprise, was Tracy Lord.
A place many men have been.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Already haunted.
And there was one part we all stood around a flame, and Tracy Lord's there chanting to the ghost serial killer, come inside me, come inside me, come inside. And I thought, you know, she says this very comfortably. It sounds like she's rehearsed this over the years.
Wow.
And there was that. Oh, and then I did, I did Celebrity Cook-Off.
Okay.
And the funny thing is like, I used to think, no, I don't want to be
right.
in this kind of schlock. I want to be in, you know, I want to be with like Robert De Niro. And then you realize the people in this kind of schlock have a much bigger audience than Robert De Niro
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, completely.
And they're making a lot more money, the ones who are really successful.
So I want to know, what have you said no to? What was something that you didn't
question.
Do?
Wow. I don't know. There was some that I just passed on, but...
So you did Ghost, you did cooking, you did Apprentice.
Yeah.
What about any, like, Civil War movies?
Oh, yeah.
I would love that. Why was there never a funny Civil War movie?
They should. Maybe I'll make one. and there's a show, another paranormal show that they asked me to be on, where they would like, where celebrities would go on and tell a story of a paranormal
right.
thing
I've,
that
I've
happened
this,
to
yes.
them. And I said I definitely will do it, but I knew they had these reenactments.
Right.
And I said, could my reenactment be like a black actor as me? And like some hot blonde with big tits will play my mother. And they never called me after that.
Well, I have dreams a lot where I go back in time to help free slaves.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I have a lot of dreams like that.
You're a hero in your dreams.
Yeah? I mean, because now you can't do it because there's not the only slaves left in the world are in Africa. Do you know that?
No.
It's the last place the slaves are legally. Where they still have slaves is like in northern Africa. But, yeah, I had these dreams for years that I was this – that I went back in time and tried to help slaves.
Dude, head to North Africa and make your dreams come true.
I don't know if I'm going to do it.
I would think. Gilbert, I have a question for my mother.
Okay.
She is a huge Howard Stern fan and misses you on Howard Stern. How come you don't do Howard Stern much anymore?
Oh, I don't know. It's a whole different animal up there now.
Right, it is.
Yeah, I think it's just... I think he's kind of like Barbara Walters now. You know, he's a good interviewer, but I don't think...
Has it evolved? Yeah, has it evolved from this kind of play world into a more...
Like A-list sort of...
First of all, I think he does it like once a month.
Yeah, that's true. He barely does it.
Yeah, and then, you know, I don't think he does like the wrestling lesbian hookers.
Right. Yeah, like I saw Stuttering John the other day looking for work. He was down at the Laugh Factory, and he's just milling around down there.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to be a famous character on Stern.
And there used to be these guys that he would pull in off the street, and they would start working.
Of course, yeah. So does it make you sad at all? I mean, to not...
I'm happy for all the years I was on. Yeah. I certainly got loads of exposure.
Yeah,
people
completely.
People remember me from it.
Yeah, no, I think it's... I mean, I think it's sad. I want to hear you back on there.
Was there a moment in your career where you start to realize kind of like you said a minute ago, like, oh, you know, I want to be in films with Robert De Niro, and I want to be in this, and I want to... Or, you know, you have these, you know, like, not expectations, but where you then start to see that maybe this is kind of where I fit in, or I'm just a tough piece? Because you're also... You're almost bigger than a character. And sometimes you have to be very simple in some ways for Hollywood to place you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever feel any of that?
Well, I found... I mean, what eventually made me stop turning down the reality shows was, like, after a while, I felt like, you know, one of those old Shakespearean actors who goes, oh, these movies are a fad, and It's like... That's the business now.
Yeah, the business has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we want to live in this old world where it's like, you know, I want to be in Gone with the Wind or something, you know?
Yeah.
And second of all, there's only one dude really in Gone with the Wind, and I'm not that dude. And,
yes.
You know, and, you know, they're burning down the plantations now anyway, just for, you know, because they don't like them anymore.
Was there anything you auditioned for where you were like, are you freaking serious? Like, you are considering me for this? I don't know, like... A movie, I don't know, a real serious movie or something in the past.
I remember one time many years ago, an agent sent me up and they said, you're gonna have to play this straight because this is a serious part. And I went up for it and they said, and the casting person was staring at me going, what part are you here for? And I said, this one, and they said, well, you know, this is the part of an 80-year-old judge. And I was about 20 at the time. So it shows how my agent really read the rundown here. My other favorite thing, one time they were casting for some movie, and I went in and auditioned. And they said, first when I walked in, they said, oh, you were, when we were writing the dialogue for this, all we could see in it was you.
Right.
We want you, anything you want to do at this part, it's yours. We know it's going to be gold with you in it. And that was it. Then I was, so I thought, okay, I'm going to be doing this movie. And then, after this is going on for a while, finally, I ask my my agent calls, and he says, oh, they don't want you for it.
What did you do, Gilbert?
And I said, oh, okay. And I said, who do they want? And he goes, Dustin Hoffman.
Wow.
And I thought, so at what point was I running neck and neck with Dustin Hoffman for the part? And it's like the only way my name could be said in the same sentence with Dustin Hoffman is I've seen Gilbert Gottfried's acting, and he's no Dustin Hoffman.
No. Did you do like regular type jobs before going into comedy?
Oh yeah, I you know, plenty of shit jobs. A lot of messenger jobs.
What was the message like when you got it there, Gilbert?
Yeah.
This has been a long walk.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah. Mine was, I didn't ride a bike in any because I'd be too scared to. But
the slowest messenger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it was walking. Walking messenger. That was horrible.
The walking part?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can
all
you
of
even
it.
Imagine?
Yeah.
Sending a message via Gilbert Gottfried.
No, that's
2 days
hysterical.
Later, the message gets there. It's furious. It's tired. It wants water for it'll talk.
Yeah. So one of our social media fans, Wayne McQueen, said, what was a moment you had at a regular job that was just terrible?
Oh, God. All of them. One thing I remember about a regular job I had where they had me at one point, the company put out these anti-burglary kits.
Okay.
And there was one thing there, like a metal pencil with to scrape your ID number into your belongings. And they wanted me, they sat me at a table to test which one of the pencils scraped and which ones didn't. And so they had me there with a pile of these pencils and a glass ashtray. And I'd go across, and if it scratched it, I'd put it in the good pile. If it didn't scratch it, I'd put it in the bad pile.
What a job.
And on the package, it said, tested by skilled craftsmen.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely true.
So wow. You're a skilled craftsman?
Yes.
Who knew?
Yeah, so I am.
Who's a celebrity that passed that you missed the most? Not just that commercially people missed, but was there one that you really, like a friend or that passed in the industry that you really missed?
There's a few. But, I mean, none that I... You know, there's a few that every now and then there's one I'll think, oh, you know, I would joke about this with this one or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then after a while, the longer you stay in the business, the more you become like the go-to guy for dead celebrities. Any famous person who dies, like I'll get a call from CNN, and can you tell us about your dear friend Osama bin Laden? and I'll have to come up with, well, there were two sides to him. He was a complex guy. He was a sensitive guy. He used to cry during romantic comedy.
Well, you know, that's hysterical. There are a lot of – you do have a lot of celebrity friends in this documentary.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
There's tons. Whoopi Goldberg's in it. Bill Burr's in it.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A lot of people – is that weird for you? Like, did you have to help corral them into doing it?
I didn't go after any of them. The filmmaker, Neil, went after them.
I want to know who said no.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's the best no that I got. Because, you know, you ask a bunch of people – some say yes, some say no. And
right.
The ones who said no were like, you know, they would have excuses like they're out of town,
right,
or they got a busy schedule or, you know, whatever. And The very best rejection I got was they asked Jim Carrey, and Jim Carrey couldn't because he was currently on trial for killing his ex-girlfriend.
Well, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, and I thought that shows how far people will go not to work in a Gilbert Gottfried production. You know, he wasn't even going to risk just saying no. He was going to go that extra step.
Well, he wasn't even going to kill her until he heard that this might even go to.
Yeah.
He was like, well,
this documentary might happen.
Yeah. And the other one we asked was O.J. Simpson.
Oh, man.
You know, he brought his girlfriend the first time I ever saw him was Jim Carrey was here. He brought her here one night.
Oh.
And he hadn't been back here in 20 years, and they were here. And he stood in the parking lot and answered questions for about 20 minutes wow. from all the staff and all the comedians.
Wow.
It was really, really – it was interesting.
Wow. Well, I mean, speaking of odd people, like in the news and whatnot, you were in the Cosby Show.
Oh, yes.
Back in the day.
Yes.
With Mr. Cosby.
Oh, yeah. Back when he was known as a comedian.
He never tried anything on you. He never tried to slip anything to you.
Yeah. One time I did. A couple of times I woke up in the middle of the day with my pants around my ankles. But I wow. just thought it's the busy work schedule. And he'd stand over me and go, howls
and and you're like, I thought I was the one on Quaaludes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It's you know what's funny with all that with that the Cosby thing, and all the weird sexual yeah. stories coming out, and people's entire careers and lives ending, just folding up. One tweet I got was, remember when Gilbert lost a job for making jokes? Wow. Can we please go back to that time period?
Huh, that's true.
And it's funny because back when I got fired for making jokes, that was like, you know, bigger than September 11th.
Yeah. Right?
That was like... And now that's like so mild.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. When you put it in perspective like that, that's very true.
Yeah, if it happened now, it wouldn't even
but
get
then again,
mentioned.
You made a joke.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Cosby raped some
yeah,
people.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of Harvey Weinstein did some bad things.
Yes.
So it's a little bit of different, but I know what you're saying completely. Speaking, I mean, someone had asked, when you look back at like the Affleck stuff or whatever, do you regret that? Or do you just go, that's just who I am and that's the way it went?
Yeah, it's like I regret losing like the extra couple of bucks, but I don't regret making the jokes because yeah. I feel like, well, that's what I do. You know, it's,
yeah.
I kind of feel like, if aliens land here in a million years from now and they start digging up information and they go, oh, he got fired. What did he get fired for? Oh, he made jokes. And what did he do for a living? He was a comedian. Well, aren't they supposed to make jokes?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
a good point.
It really makes no sense. It's scary. I mean, I think it's scary. I think... Like, in this time, what do you do as a comedian? Do you just double down? Like, what do you say to comedians out there who are afraid to speak, who are afraid to tell jokes these days?
Yeah. Oh, it's a scary time. I mean, it's funny because it goes back to, like you know, like the when I did the Aristocrats. Because
mm-hmm.
I was at the Hugh Hefner roast
right.
a couple of days after September 11th, and I did a joke about the Twin Towers. And that got... boos and hisses, and one guy yelled out too soon, which I thought meant I didn't take a long enough pause between the setup and punchline. And then after what felt like 200 years after I say the joke, I go into the Aristocrats, which is incest and bestiality, and the audience started howling. They were just cheering. And it meant that they, you know, they wanted something. to laugh at.
Right, exactly.
They knew one thing they're supposed to be offended by. It's kind of like I had some woman interview me about the whole tsunami thing, and I told her some other bad taste joke, and she started laughing but covered her face. Huh. And I thought,
oh, yeah.
Right there.
That's it.
Is it. It's like, oh, I think this is funny, and I do want to laugh, but I'll cover my face because I know it's you're not supposed to laugh.
Right, exactly. Huh. Yeah. Interesting. So you don't seem to me, is there anything, do you feel like you ever crossed the line in anything that you've done comedy-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
You don't, exactly. I don't think you have either because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Completely. Well, and I also want to know, I mean, what's next for you? I mean, I know in the document, and I know you're always traveling and doing different gigs that I looked on your website. You're going to be in Rhode Island. You're going to be here and there. Does that get tiring? I mean, when you get older and you have a family, like, are you still going to be doing this?
I definitely start feeling like Willie Loman.
Yeah.
When I go into these towns. And But that's another thing I say in the documentary that's true. It's like you got to dance with the date that brought you.
Hmm. That's true.
It's like that's what you're doing. It's like, yeah, you have to dance with it. Yeah, like what else are you going to do? This is your time.
Yeah.
Well, do you get lonely out on the road? I mean, Theo, you too. I could never do what you guys do.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I got caught up in the dark arts out there for a while. You know, something about I can't even walk into a hotel room usually without masturbating for some reason.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's like some sort of pattern they put in the floor or something. I swear. It's hypnotic. It's very, very hypnotic. It's very relaxing.
I think it's a you thing. Not a Hilton thing.
I don't know, dude. I'm in a hotel or motel room for a half hour. I got my shirt off and I have masturbated, you know. And I'm looking for Italian food, you know. And I don't think that that's me because I don't do that at home.
Well, okay.
I don't do that at home.
Well, are you doing it into these shampoo bottles? Because that's what Gilbert's taking home.
Oh, I don't know. Look, my penis isn't that small.
Oh, okay.
At least I'm using a bigger bottle, you know?
What do you think? By the way, they're doing a live-action Aladdin.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I know nothing about it. They didn't even...
Except Will Smith is the genie. That's all I know.
And they didn't ask me to do anything in that. And as a matter of fact, when they were opening up, Aladdin on Broadway, I thought, well, when this opens, they're definitely going to ask me to show up at the big premiere, and they didn't. And then it was on stage for about a year or two, and finally I thought, you know, I wanted to take my kids to it, and I said, you know, hi, I'm Gilbert Gottfried. Is there any chance I can go see Aladdin? And the woman says, well, across the street at certain times of the day, you can get half price tickets.
Wow. No, that's not true.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And do you think that some of that element is gone from the industry? Because we've had, you know, people that are in the original Baywatch come in and weren't even invited to be, you know, given a ticket to the new film. And like,
oh, yeah.
Just do you feel like there's a lot of the respect is just missing?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I thought. With the movie, like, you know, in the old days, they used to, you know, they would, I mean, still you see people pop up where they'll do like a movie version of a TV show.
Right.
And they'll have one of the stars pop up as a hot dog vendor or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah. And by the way, I grew up, Aladdin is one of my favorites, and like, I can't even picture it without you, without Robin Williams. You know, like the idea of picturing Will Smith as the genie, really kind of creeps me out.
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, look, a mixed guy granting people's wishes. We just had 8 years of that, and it didn't really work out. Didn't really work out.
That's a funny joke, Theo. That's
Thank you. Only 200 episodes to get him to say a funny joke.
Well, everybody, make sure to check out Gilbert.
I'm excited.
It's on Hulu exclusively on December 29th.
December 29th, so you can watch it. Yeah, after Christmas, after you get done with all your Christmas stuff. Did you do a voice in any Christmas things that we wouldn't really know or know about?
Oh, Christmas stuff?
Yeah.
One of them was, I think it was, there was a cartoon, Billy and Mandy, and I think it was Billy and Mandy Save Christmas, where I was an evil Santa Claus. And then there was, I was a voice in the cartoon version of Buddy the Elf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, see something and forget that you had done a voice
on
it?
Oh, yeah.
And then go, wait, that's my voice? Really?
Yeah. And but it is funny. Sometimes I'll go to my mailbox, and it'll be, like, ready to burst open with residual checks. And I'll think, you know, I'm going to buy an island in Hawaii with this.
Right.
And I'll add them all up, and it's, like, $1.23. You know?
You guys appreciate that. Yesterday, I got a colonoscopy. Lovely.
Oh, yes.
Share with everybody. The nurse had this very thick Israeli accent, and she goes, what do you do? I said, I'm a writer. She said, what kind? I said, comedy. And she goes, oh, I love Charlie Chaplin. I was like, great. And then she starts asking me all these questions, like, about do you take drugs, things like that, for the questionnaire. And then she goes, do you like Master B? And I said, what? And she said, do you like Master B? And I said, did you just ask if I like masturbating? I don't know what that has to do with it. And then she goes, she starts cracking up. She goes, no, do you like Mr. Bean? And I was like, oh, Mr. Bean. Sure. Apparently, I thought it was an odd question to ask. What does that have to do with my colon?
Apparently your hearing goes out when they play with your ass all night. That happens to me a little bit. You put something in my ass, I can't even hear for a minute.
It's like, yes, and sometimes I watch Mr. Bean and jerk off.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, there's something about a guy parking a car in a bad space.
Yes.
He didn't want to explode.
Hey, look, Mr. Patterns on the floor of the Courtyard Marriott.
I'm
whatever gets you off.
I'm holding off for that class action lawsuit against Courtyard and Spring Hill.
All right, everybody, go check out Gilbert. And Gilbert, will you say one thing for me?
Oh, yes.
I was watching a video.
Oh, and my podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. My website, GilbertGottfried.com.
For tour dates,
and my
right?
Twitter is RealGilbert. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I watched a video where you did the words to Aqualung, where you said that. That was very funny.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite song is Wind Beneath My Wings. Could you say to me, did you ever know that you're my hero?
Did you ever know that you're my hero? Wow. You're everything I've been looking for. You are the wind beneath my wings.
Bravo. That made my day.
I mean, it can ruin any song. But it's a reminder. Get out there and listen to good comedy. Don't be afraid to laugh. Let's change things up. Gilbert Gottfried, thank you so much.
And we didn't do points on this episode, but the winner is quite clearly Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
you win in that.
Check out the documentary. Learn. Get behind the scenes of get behind the curtain of this Wizard of Oz.
Thank you very much for coming in, Gilbert.
Thank you,
Theo. Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.